Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
I want to invite you to grab your copy of God's Word. Join me once again in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and our text this morning will be verses 16 through verse 3 of chapter 4. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 16 through chapter 4, verse 3. I want to remind you where we are in this book as we've been talking about the meaning of life. As we look and begin to ask those questions, what's life all about? What gives life meaning? Why am I here? What's my purpose? What am I here to do? And how do I relate with this world in which we live? As we've looked, Solomon, who was an incredibly wise man, someone who had everything that this world had to offer, began ultimately in his life saying, you know, I'm not interested that much in following God's plan and God's purposes. I think I'll just try to go at it on my own, see if I can figure out how to live life and have meaning chasing after any number of things that life has to offer. And so Solomon, as we saw early in this book, began to survey the buffet of life. What can I find out there that I can indulge myself in and try to find meaning in life? And we heard him say at every turn, at every attempt, that all of this was vain, all of this was pointless, all of what he was attempting to do, finding meaning apart from a relationship with the Lord, all of that was like chasing after the wind. And I think for us, if we're honest with ourselves, if we've attempted to do that, try to live life apart from the Lord, we may enjoy a few moments of joy and satisfaction and indulgence, but ultimately we will come to the same point that Solomon came to. We looked last week and we talked about just the reality that as we look at life, we walk through various seasons in our lives. Seasons where things are going incredibly well. Seasons where things are not going incredibly well. And we ask the question, does God have a plan and a purpose in those things? Is God at work even when we can't see His hand at work? And we looked and we realized, as Solomon unpacked for us, just the realization that as we walk through life, we're going to go through seasons where things are going to go really, really well and things are not going to go really, really well. But in those seasons, that God is at work in our lives as believers, bringing about something incredibly beautiful. There's no situation or circumstance that we walk through in our lives if we're followers of Jesus that God's fingerprint is not on. Which brings us to what Solomon is going to unpack for us today. And I love this because it's the natural question that flows from the statement that God is at work in all things to bring about glory to Himself, that God is at work in all things to bring about something beautiful. The question comes, if that's true, which, church, we believe that that is true. The question comes, if God is in control and He is working all things for good, those are the things that we said last week. How do we explain injustice and unrighteousness going unchecked in our world? If it's true that God is at work, and if it's true that God is bringing about something beautiful in every season and circumstance, how do we explain then injustice and unrighteousness seemingly not being dealt with in the here and now? We call this, in theological terms, the problem of evil. If God is all-powerful and God is all-good, why doesn't He fix it? Ever wonder that in your own life? Why does God allow these things to happen? Solomon, for us, is going to answer that question this morning. And so I want to read for us the text beginning in verse 16 of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and going down through verse 3 of chapter 4. And I want to share with you too, church, this is a new Bible that I got this past week. And I say that to you to let you know that when I grabbed it, I grabbed the large print version. Not because I could not see, but I'm convinced that the Bible publishers these days have taken what is normal print and made it large print. Kind of like they do with clothes, right? They change the sizes on you and they don't tell you about that. You go in and try it on and you're like, what? I don't wear that size. So when I grabbed this Bible, purposefully, I did grab a large print. So I'm hoping, church, that as we read the text this morning, you will see how clear I see this, okay? Does that sound good? Beginning in verse 16 of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, Solomon writes, "Moreover, I saw under the sun that in the place of justice, even there was wickedness, and in the place of righteousness, even there was wickedness. And I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every matter and for every work. And I said in my heart, with regard to the children of man, that God is testing them, that they may see that they themselves are but beasts. For what happens to the children of man and what happens to the beast is the same. As one dies, so dies the other. They all have the same breath, and man has no advantage over the beast, for all is vanity. All go to one place, all are from the dust, and to dust all return. Who knows whether the spirit of man goes upward and the spirit of the beast goes down into the earth? So I saw that there is nothing better than that man should rejoice in his work, for that is his lot. Who can bring him to see what will be after him? Again, I saw all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold, the tears of the oppressed, and they had no one to comfort them. On the side of their oppressors there was power, and there was no one to comfort them. And I thought the dead who are already dead more fortunate than the living who are still alive. But better than both is he who has not yet been, and has not seen the evil deeds that are done under the sun." Father, we ask this morning that as we unpack your word together as your church, that you would open our eyes that we would be able to see, that you would open our ears that we would be able to hear, and that you would open our hearts and our minds that we would be ready to respond to your word and to your spirit. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I don't know about your family, but when our family gets together with extended family, we like to play board games. Anybody else a board game fan? If you're not, there's something wrong with you. Just kidding. We like to play different kind of board games, but one of the board games that I played growing up, many of you probably played, was the board game Monopoly. How many of you played Monopoly? Just raise your hand. Monopoly. How many of you are like, I have no idea what he's talking about? Everybody look at that person that has his hand. No, I'm just kidding. The board game Monopoly. And what happens in that game is your attempt is to get everything that you can get. Your attempt is to build as many things as you can build, to acquire as many things as you can acquire. And it was the very first time that I realized that money actually does things for you. Now, here's the thing, just a side note. I think they've changed the game now to where you have credit cards, which is dumb. Let's just say that out loud, okay? It doesn't work the same. When you have money in your hands, like you realize it. But someone eventually wins the game of Monopoly, and then what happens? All the pieces go back in the box, and they're sorted out, and the box is closed, and is put back on the shelf. I want you to hear me this morning. God, in the end, puts the pieces back in the box, sorts them out according to his justice and his righteousness. One of the things that we lose sight of, that we forget as we consider the problem of evil, as we think about things in our world that we look at and we just say, how does God allow that? I mean, you just read the news stories and you're just heartbroken over the evil and the injustice and the oppression that's going on in our world. And you just wonder, is God, does he know that that's going on? And if he does know, why is he not doing anything about it? I mean, can he do something about it? Can he not do something about it? Solomon begins to ask that question because Solomon's come to the realization, to the understanding that God is at work in the world in which we live, that God is moving and God is active, and his sovereign will and his sovereign plan will come into existence. And it involves dealing with us, dealing with people, and God is working in every situation and every circumstance. And for us as believers, as we said last week, God is at work in our lives, bringing about good for his glory and for our good. That's what God is doing. That's his promise to us. And so we look and we ask the question that Solomon asks. But what about the bad things that happen? Solomon looks, beginning in verse 16, and if you're taking notes this morning, this is the first truth that I want you to write down. We see it in verse 16. We live in a sin-ravaged world where injustice and unrighteousness flourish every day. That's the truth. We live in a sin-ravaged world. All you have to do is look at the news. All you have to do is sometimes even look in your own household, right? All you have to do is open your eyes and you realize and you understand that we live in a broken world. We live in a sin-ravaged world. Solomon says this in verse 16, "Moreover, I saw under the sun that in the place of justice," we all want justice, right? For the other person. We don't necessarily want justice when it comes to us. Solomon says here, in the place of justice, when righteousness should have reigned, where God's will should have been carried forth so that we could see that this was dealt with, in the place of justice, even there was wickedness. Pause for just a moment and think through the history of the world at turns of history where injustice took place. I'm reading right now a book on William Wilberforce and the abolition of the slave trade in Britain. And just the details that are shared in that book of the injustice that took place is heartbreaking. And we don't have to look all the way back then. We can look around and realize that even now that there's injustice being done, even now that as we look around the world, as we realize that we have many brothers and sisters in Christ that are being persecuted for the faith that we hold dear and the freedoms that we enjoy to gather and to worship, they don't have and they don't enjoy. And so if they're going to gather and worship, they're going to do it knowing that very well they may face persecution, they may be arrested. We look around the world and we're reminded constantly of the injustice that's going on. When we look and we say, no, the right thing should be done here. And yet, there was wickedness. Solomon says that, and let's not forget who Solomon is. Solomon's king over Israel. Solomon is reigning at a period of time where Israel was enjoying tremendous prosperity, and they were kind of at the top of the pile of everything that's going on in the world. And yet Solomon, even in that position, even enjoying the benefits that were afforded to him, still is able to look and to recognize that unrighteousness is flourishing where justice should be. So Solomon comes and he says, I saw that in the place of justice, even there was wickedness. And in the place of righteousness, even there was wickedness. Let me just ask you the question, do you see injustice around you? Are there moments in your daily walk where you look at a situation, or you read a news story, or you see something on the news, and you feel within yourself just this pang of knowing that's just not right? Where you look and you realize something there is broken. I read a news story this past week of a mom who was convicted of selling her kids that were 4 and 5 years old to men. And church, I'm just reading that with tears broken over the fact that we live in a world like that. Solomon is highlighting what we see, what we endure, what we experience as believers in this world, where we look and we say there should be justice, the right thing should be done there, and yet we look and there's unrighteousness. There's no justice. There's moments where we look and we go, the system's broken. Why is it like that? One of the things that Solomon does is puts words to what we often feel. As we look, Solomon says, there should be justice there and there's not. There should be righteousness there and there's not. So what do we do? That's what Solomon's going to unpack for us. What do we do when there's no justice, when there's no righteousness? When there's oppression, when there's situations that we look at and we think, why is God not doing something different there? Unless we pause and think that this doesn't affect us, let me remind us of the reality that every single one of us in this room is a sinner that was separated from God, except for the grace of God and the sacrifice of Jesus. Let's be reminded of the truth that we too were part of it. That we too were, according to Ephesians chapter 2, enemies of God, pursuing after unrighteousness. That's who we were until we met Jesus. And if you have not met Jesus yet, that's where you sit today. Solomon puts to words the questions that rise up within us. I want you to notice in verse 17, the second truth that Solomon unpacks for us. He says, I saw this was going on. Verse 17, I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time for every matter and for every work. As Solomon has unpacked for us of the first part of chapter 3, there's a time for every work under heaven. There's a season for every single thing that happens. And Solomon, in looking and seeing the injustice that was around him and looking and seeing the unrighteousness where righteousness should have been, Solomon looks and he says, oh, but there's a season. There's a season when God's justice reigns. There's a season coming when God will right all the wrongs. There's a season that is coming when God will pick up the pieces of a broken world and fix them and put them back in the box the way they're supposed to be. If you're taking notes, the second truth, write this down. We should rejoice and take comfort in the promise that a day is coming when God will set all things right. Solomon, in looking around and recognizing the injustice, recognizing the unrighteousness, says, the day is coming when God will judge the righteous and the wicked. The day is coming, church, when God will judge the righteous and the wicked. The day is coming when God will sort all things out. Where we look and that pain is deep within of recognizing the injustice, our hope in that is knowing that God sees it. There's nothing that happens in this world that God does not see. There's no injustice that's done, no oppression that's carried out that God is not watching and looking and will judge one day. Now, as we look at that, that should, for us as believers, bring about comfort, bring about hope. We should look and recognize in verse 17 that that, for us, should frame the truth of what's going on. That when we're tempted in moments to look and to go, I just don't see how God could allow that to happen. I'm looking at this injustice. I'm reading this news story. I'm watching things go on in our community. I'm looking at these and I'm wondering, how in the world can God let those things go? And I'm reminded, we are reminded, Solomon reminds us that God sees it. And that a day is coming when God's justice will reign. Now, what does that mean for us as believers? Because here, Solomon says, God will judge the righteous and the wicked. There's two groups of people there, the righteous, those who are following after the Lord, as we think about it sitting here today, for those of us who are followers of Jesus, who have trusted in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the question is, how does God judge us? We look and we are reminded of the great truth that when God looks at us, God sees not us, but His Son Jesus. Because Christ's blood covers us, when God looks at us, our sin that is present in our lives, Jesus' death on the cross paid for. When God looks at us, He sees Christ's righteousness covering us. Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross, He stood in our place. When God's wrath was poured out on Christ on the cross, what we should have endured, Christ endured for us. So we look and we realize and we're reminded and we rejoice of the fact that we don't stand any longer as objects of God's wrath, of God's punishment. We look and we realize that we are children of God. That Christ's righteousness covers us. That when God sees us, He sees His Son. Doesn't mean that we can just check out of life at that point and not worry about anything. Because we are reminded that we will give an account as believers for our actions, what we do with what God gives us. So the opportunities that God places in our life, the moments that we have, the limited time we have on the earth, we will give an account before the Lord of how we spent that for His kingdom. But notice with me that Solomon says here that there's a time, that there's a moment when God will judge the righteous and the wicked. Those who have never taken the step of trusting in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior will stand at the end as enemies of God. Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross, they've not received the free gift of salvation, they will spend eternity separated from God. Now, for us this morning, church, that should remind us of the mandate of what Christ gave us, is that we are to take the good news that we've experienced because of what Christ has done for us, and we should share that all over the world. But we have to be reminded where the stakes are. This is not a game that we are playing, church. This is a life and death issue. This is an eternal issue. There are no second chances after death. In fact, the promise that we have is that God will judge the righteous and the wicked. Solomon says there's a time for every matter and for every work. Verse 18, I said in my heart with regard to the children of man that God is testing them, that they may see that they themselves are but beasts. For what happens to the children of man and what happens to the beast is the same. Solomon's highlighting for us over the next few verses just this realization that we are going to die. I told you, there's moments in the book of Ecclesiastes where you look and you go, gosh, this is so depressing. Just look and you're like, man, why? There's moments where Solomon, like I can see him at moments where if you're sitting down with him over a cup of coffee, he shares this incredible piece of wisdom with you about seasons and about life and about all these things. And then he kind of pauses and he just says, you know, we're all going to die. And you're like, oh, okay, I mean, like, can we get back to the other good stuff, right? But Solomon reminds us as we walk through this life, as we endure injustice and unrighteousness, as we look and long for the day as believers when Jesus is coming back to set all things right, we are reminded that this cycle of being born and of dying continues. And if you notice, it doesn't matter what year it is or how sophisticated we've gotten as a society. Injustice and unrighteousness are still present. Doesn't matter how good we think things get. There's moments in time where we're quickly reminded of the evil that's present within this world. Solomon says in verse 20, all go to one place, all are from the dust, and to dust all return. Verse 22, I saw that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his work, for that is his lot. Who can bring him to see what will be after him? I want you to notice verse 1 of chapter 4. Again, I saw all the oppressions that are done under the sun. Solomon goes back to verse 16 and he repeats it again. He says, listen, and I am recognizing all the oppressions that are done under the sun. I think that initially in verse 16, Solomon is describing what he's seeing and he's trying to help us understand how we walk through that, how we can sort through this big issue that we see day in and day out, injustice and oppression in the world, unrighteousness reigning, seemingly nothing being done about those who are getting ahead in the wrong way. And so at the macro level, Solomon says, just remember, take comfort in the fact that God is at work, that God is ultimately going to bring everything and set it right. So as we look at this, we are reminded of that reality. And then Solomon repeats once again, I saw all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And behold, the tears of the oppressed, and that they had no one to comfort them. One of the most heartbreaking things is oftentimes when we see oppression take place, when we see injustice take place, we see what Solomon sees here. There's no one standing in the gap to comfort those who are oppressed, those who experience injustice. So on the macro level, Solomon says the response for us is to rejoice and to take hope and to take comfort in the fact that God ultimately is going to reign and God's ultimately going to set all those things right, that God's justice will flow. But then Solomon goes at the micro level and says, hang on though. as we're witnessing this injustice, as we're witnessing this oppression, as we look and we see these things take place, Solomon says, I'm watching this happen, and there's no one there to wipe away the tears. There's no one there to wrap their arms around those who are oppressed. There's no one there to comfort them. There's no one there standing in the gap for them. Let me push it this way. There's no one being Jesus for them. On the side of the oppressors, there was power. And there was no one to comfort them. Solomon points in again and he says, as I'm witnessing this, as I'm seeing this injustice take place, I'm not seeing people gather around these who are being oppressed. No one comforting them. And then Solomon says, and I'm also recognizing and seeing that on the side of the oppressors, the ones who are carrying this out, the ones who are doing things to those who are being oppressed, I'm seeing that power is on their side. And there was no one to comfort them. Solomon says in verse 2, I thought the dead, who are already dead, more fortunate than the living who are still alive. How sad. Solomon looks and he's describing the situation in which he's found himself as he's looking in the world, as he's watching injustice take place, as he's seeing that there's no one standing up. There's no one standing in the gap for those who are being oppressed. There's no one wrapping their arms around them. And Solomon looks at that and he says, you know what? It'd really be better just to be dead. Because when you're dead, you don't have to watch it anymore. You don't have to see it anymore. You're more fortunate than those who are still alive. Then he says in verse 3, notice this, but better than both is he who has not yet been and has not seen the evil deeds that are done under the sun. So Solomon says it's better if you're already dead, so you're not having to endure it anymore. But even better than that, it's better if you haven't even been born and see it take place. How discouraging, right? I mean, you look at that and you think, well, what's the answer? I mean, Solomon is saying here it'd be better to be dead and it would be better not to have been born than to watch what's going on, to see the injustice and the oppression going on around you and there being no one to stand in the gap. So church, what does that mean for us? Certainly we look and we realize that there's injustice in the world, there's oppression in the world. We look and we realize that those things are being carried out. We live in a world that's ravaged by sin. We see it day in and day out in our lives personally and in the grand scope of what's going on in the world. We see that taking place. And yes, we take hope in the fact that Jesus is returning and that God will set all things right, that God's justice will ultimately reign, that he will judge those who are evil according to their deeds. But hear me, church. Solomon is reminding us that our purpose here as God's people is to be his hands and feet. One of the things in reading the biography on William Wilberforce is that once he was confronted with the injustice of the slave trade, once he saw and heard what was taking place, his response was not, well, I sure hope somebody steps up and handles it. His response was, I'm going to step up and handle it. His response was, I'm going to be the one who is going to stand in the gap on behalf of those. And others joined around him. And we saw in just a short period of time that their work led to the abolishment of the slave trade and ultimately slavery in all of the British colonies. Our call as believers is to be Christ's hands and feet on this earth, to share the gospel with people, to point them to the hope of Christ and His return, but also that we are the first ones on the front line to offer comfort to those who are experiencing oppression, to be the ones who speak out for justice where there is injustice. The ball lands in our court as believers. And Solomon reminds us that it's not a problem out there that someone else will deal with. It's a problem that we, as Christ's church on this earth, as His hands and feet, as His ambassadors on this earth, must be willing to comfort those who are afflicted and oppressed, to speak up where there is injustice being done, to be Christ on the earth for them. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the truth that Solomon reminds us of. We're confronted this morning with the realization that even as we gather this morning, there is injustice and oppression all over the world. And Father, we take comfort in the reality that in the end, You will set all things right. That Father, You will judge the righteous and the unrighteous. That true and ultimate justice will reign. And in the meantime, may we as Your church be willing to stand for those who are oppressed. May we be willing to wrap our arms around them, to get involved in the messiness that we may find. That we would be willing to love them well, to share Christ with them, to speak up for them. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.